Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Yesterday, I again updated and reviewed with our nation's governors our plans to distribute the Johnson & Johnson vaccine if the EUA is granted. The governors are carefully planning their efforts and getting ready for the possible new vaccine. If authorized, we are ready to roll out this vaccine without delay. Our distribution approach will mirror the current allocations process across jurisdictions, pharmacies, and community health centers.
So, yeah, Johnson & Johnson looking more and more likely to, you know, they got the favorable review from the staff at the FDA. Of course, they have to actually go through the process. They got to present, and then the FDA has to rule on issuing them the emergency use authorization. But everybody expects that this is going to happen basically on Friday. And by Saturday and Sunday, you're going to have vaccines rolling out just like we did for Pfizer, just like we did for Moderna, which is a major change in the rate of vaccination that will be available to the United States because it's a third one, so more supply, but also because it's a one shot. This is the thing that there's really two key elements to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that make it unique. One is it's a single shot, so you go once you're done. Which, if you want to think about it this way, is a doubling of vaccine capacity, right? I mean, if you have 100 million two-shot doses, then you really can only vaccinate 50 million people. But if you have 100 million one-shot doses, then you can vaccinate 100 million people. So this is leverage. The numbers that are lower are actually double when compared to Pfizer and Moderna. The other part of that, though, and this is just as important, is that not only are the shots sort of doubled in their impact compared to Pfizer and Moderna, but they're doubled in terms of their logistical limitations. Because again, if you have the capacity to inoculate, I don't know, 1,000 people a day at a facility, well, over the course of a week, you can inoculate 7,000 people, but they're only halfway on the old system. So that means over the course of a month, you got 30,000 people, but then they got to get their second dose. So in 2 months, I know it's a bit mathy, I apologize, but in 2 months, 1,000 people a day on the old two-dose Moderna and Pfizer, you're going to inoculate 30,000 people. But now, in 2 months, you could inoculate 60,000 people because you the supply and also because of logistics. So whatever your limitation is, you can do it better. And this is so that's good. Plus, it doesn't need the deep freeze. It's just refrigeration. So any refrigerator will do. That's great for getting it into rural areas where they may not have the cold storage as easy. That's certainly going to be helpful for getting it into countries where they don't have the cold chain is what they call it, the ability to keep it frozen for a long time. So this is very, very good preliminary news, especially since everybody assumes that the advisory committee for the FDA is going to approve this weekend.
If an EUA is issued, we anticipate allocating 3 to 4 million doses of Johnson & Johnson vaccine next week. Johnson & Johnson has announced it aims to deliver a total of 20 million doses by the end of March. We're working with the company to accelerate the pace and time frame by which they deliver the full 100 million doses, which is required by contract by the end of June.
Now, there were questions raised yesterday, and I do have to give credit. The New York Times, I think her name is Sharon LaFreniere, she was asking questions of Jeff Zients. He's the White House coordinator on this stuff, and asking questions about the various problems in the supply chain of the different kinds, actually Moderna and Pfizer vaccine.
So J&J was supposed to have 12 million doses by the end of the month and 37 by the end of March. Instead, it's going to be under 4 million and 20 million. Can you tell us what exactly happened to cause these delays?
You know, when we got here 5 weeks ago, we learned that J&J was behind on manufacturing, and our team has been working with them since. And, you know, I think they're in a better place now. We've helped them with equipment and raw materials, which I think is helping to, you know, increase greater capacity and accelerate.
Not much of an answer. I mean, not really much of an answer other than to say, yeah, we know they're behind. And she has good questions, by the way, about the Moderna and Pfizer delays and also about the supply issues. So, she has the right questions. You know, hey, you promised this and we're seeing this. And his answer is, we're trying real hard. To which my answer is, it's harder than it looks, isn't it? It's really easy to come into office promising the moon, and then we'll see. It's, you know, if it were easy, it would have been done right from the beginning with the Pfizer and the Moderna rollout, right? And I'm not saying it shouldn't have been better. I'm not saying that there's, you know, excuses are legitimate. I'm just saying it looks easy until you get in there and try to figure it out. That's the point. But we are seeing expansion, right? Walmart, CVS, Sam's, you're seeing more of that. The FEMA sites are going to be coming to the state of Florida, as the governor told us yesterday, which we knew, but, you know, still they're coming. And this is not a small thing, but with the weather clearing up and the snowstorms going away, the shipping capability is being fixed and people are getting their doses and getting their back doses and all that kind of stuff, which is all good news. 5:15 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
And yeah, we're seeing delays. The front gate of NAS Pensacola is extensive, backed up all the way to beyond Central Avenue to Palmetto Avenue is where I'm noticing these delays. The back gate appears to be flowing smoothly. If you would rather take that as an alternate route, Gulf Beach Highway is checking in clear. Now taking a look at Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge. So far, no delays. Good news there. Gulf Breeze Parkway, Navarre Parkway, including Windhaven Beach and Hurlburt Field, all flowing smoothly. And taking a look at I-10 and I-110. Not seeing any delays along there, but if anything were to change, feel free to let me know at 262-6111. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
This week, we had Alex Andrade on the show on Monday, and we were talking about the weird process of how there was a bill filed to reform the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority that was approved by the legislative delegation at their hearing when they were in town. Michelle Salzman, Representative District 1, filed that bill, and everything seemed fine, and then there was a change in the way the bill was filed, and then there was a staffer who lost their job, and, you know, then, you know, there was some behind-the-scenes drama between Alex and Michelle, and we had him on the show, and we had her on the show, and she basically said, yeah, I'm done with all of this. If Alex wants to refile the bill, he can. And he has, because he told me that he would, and then he did. And it's a clean term limits bill. Like, it's a one half of one page bill. It says members shall be eligible for re-election. However, a person elected to three consecutive full terms as a member of the board after July 1st, 2021 is not eligible for election to the board for the next succeeding term. So you can run 12 years, skip a term, and then be back on, but you can't have 13 years in a row. That's what this says. And that's it. Like, all of this additional technical fixes or, you know, reforms to the procurement process, things that had been in various versions of the bill pulled and then added back in, all of that's gone. Simple, clean, one thing. And I'll tell you, I like term limits. I just don't understand why we have different rules on different term limits for different offices. You know, if we're going to have term limits in the state of Florida, let's have it for everything. Sheriff, superintendent, you know, county commission, everything. There's no reason to pick and choose. This agency gets term limits and that agency does not get term limits. So make it for everything. Stop piddling around with these, you know, changes in how this stuff works. And again, picking and choosing. I didn't particularly support the school board one either. I thought that's just, you know, I mean, just make it all the same. Simple. 621 here on News Radio 92, or not at all, you know. 621 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
New York City will start reopening middle schools today. About 60,000 students in the city will return to in-person learning, either full or part-time. Public school closures because of the COVID pandemic have dropped significantly in the Big Apple. A new $500 million ad campaign being launched to convince people to get vaccinated. The new ads show people hugging, going to church, being close to family, and doing other things that were common before the pandemic. And everything old is new again. Kelsey Grammer returning as Dr. Frasier Crane in a reboot of the 90s sitcom. None of the other stars, though, have signed on yet, so what's the point? Frazier ran for 11 seasons, starting in 1993, won 37 Emmys. It's going to stream on Paramount Plus.
I never really watched Frasier.
I love Frasier.
Should I go back and watch? Would I love it more now? I wasn't in talk radio at the time. If I went back and watched it, would I?
It's hilarious.
Well, okay, so if I had to pick and choose, would I rather go back and watch WKRP, or would I rather go back and watch Frasier? Because I've only, I know WKRP, Ooh. But I've probably only seen
why
20
do you
or 30
have to
episodes.
Choose?
You got to start somewhere. Well, where should I start? Be my mentor on TV choices here.
I love both of the shows, but I'm going to have to say Frasier. I think the humor is more
poignant.
It's more well written.
Okay. It's a later show. Yeah, I mean, give them the benefit of the time. So okay, all right. 4-3. Mark, you look like you wanted to weigh in on this.
Although it'd be kind of sad because the dad was a big part of the show, and
yes,
he's passed away.
Right. John Mahoney. So,
I wonder, are they going to obviously the
and without
they can replace the dog? Like, would they keep the dog somehow?
Yeah. Without Niles, you can't have a
Niles,
show.
Niles, yes, the brother. I don't know.
All right, fair enough.
We'll see.
Thanks so much. 437. I got my on-air TV watching advice because I'm always looking for like things to watch, and we're rewatching Friends now, and you know I'm always eager to find something good there's a little bit of a gap for me, and Frasier was one of those gaps. I mean, we watched like all of Cheers, and then never watched Frasier. Can't explain why. It's just the way it worked out. Oh, this is kind of interesting. Remember this dust up that was going on in Australia, where the Australian government had basically been threatening social media that they were going to require them to pay a fee to news organizations because as republishers, they basically need to buy the reprint rights. Right. You know, Facebook, for example, and Google are definitely benefited as business entities in their ability to sell advertising or targeting to advertising because they have news sites or news headlines being shared and reshared across their platforms. So this is content provided to them and used by their users that builds their brand appeal in order for them to be able to generate ad revenue. That's a long, convoluted way to describe, but that's all true. The problem is they don't pay any of those original news contributors any money. Well, Australia said, that's not good. We're going to start making you pay them. Facebook said, fine, we just won't allow that stuff to be shared. So they blanket banned a whole bunch of sites that were news organizations, including government news organizations, government news entities, and they just said, we won't share it. Well, now they've kind of come around. They're going to pay them $1 billion over 3 years to various news organizations, and Australia has passed a law to make Google and Facebook pay for news source, news organization. Speaking as somebody who generates news, I do find it problematic that anybody would profit from the work that they don't pay to make happen, right? I, every day, get paid by my bosses because of the advertising that we sell, and I produce news content that Facebook and Google benefit from because people share our articles, and we do not get compensated by them for that. That's a problem. On the other hand, what happens when news organizations are funded by the social media organizations that benefit from sharing their information? Does that create a weird relationship, much like taking government funding for a news organization might create a certain kind of bias in an entity to be more favorable in covering stories about the government, much like more favorable in covering stories about Facebook or about Google if you are a news entity? It's a weird situation. I mean, it just is. Okay, that is a weird situation. Would I prefer to have the money? Oh, I mean, probably. Just to be honest, probably take the money. I don't know that anything like this is likely to happen here. But this is this is not just a problem for Google and Facebook. This is like across the news industry. I've always thought it was weird, for example, that Steve Bartman was the original example of this. All kinds of money was made by news organizations covering the horror of that interference with the, right? And it ruined his life, and he didn't benefit from it at all. He didn't get paid for it. You know, that kind of problem. This is, I think, an issue in a lot of news creation. 627 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
And it's funny because the Cubs, after they won the World Series, tried to make amends with him. And he's like, no, Like, yeah. Bleep you.
Yeah, no thanks.
No thanks. Well, anyways, the front gate of NAS Pensacola, out of all delays in the area, this is the worst. In fact, it's really the only one. It's backed up all the way to the intersection of Gulf Beach Highway, Barrancas. So now this is going to be an extensive delay. The back gate, as of right now, I'm also starting to see some delays over there, but I'm not seeing anything too extensive. It does appear to be backed up, though, to Gulf Beach Highway. Now, taking a look at Garcon Point Bridge, as you're going northbound, it appears to be just a little slow moving as you're leaving Gulf Breeze. But once you get on the bridge, it should clear up and be smooth all the way to I-10. And Avalon Boulevard in both directions is checking in clear. That's the case for 9 Mile Road, I-10, and I-110. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Hey, coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk to Janice Gilley, Escambia County Administrator. We'll find out what has been going on in the search for a new executive director over at the Santa Rosa Island Authority. It's been a it's been a Russian novel, honestly. And, you know, I really love Paolo and sorry to see him be retiring. But we think they've got it figured out. But it was not a squeaky process getting to this point. We'll talk to her about that. Also, tonight at the Pensacola City Council, you're going to have a very interesting conversation about putting a law in place that requires complete streets. Now, we haven't gotten into this a lot. We might do so next hour. But that's a very, very interesting proposal. The other one is that they're finally going to start vote. They're going to finally vote on the final version of the gun buyback program. I've been reporting about this for weeks. I've been a little bit ahead of the news curve on this one, I think, because we've had all these conversations so many times. I see other people are kind of finally read the agenda and they're paying attention, but that's fine. You know, they're going to vote on that. You know, that's the $200 for a semi-automatic rifle, $150 for pistols and that kind of stuff. So it looks like that's going to happen. I don't expect that to be a controversy tonight. The city council has been all in support of it so far. Mark Jacobs, what do you have coming up, sir?
Getting ready for a third COVID-19 vaccine. The story after Fox News.
I'm Chris Foster. The Conservative Political Action Conference starts today in Orlando, Florida. President Trump is scheduled to address the annual meeting Sunday. Wyoming House Republican Liz Cheney said about that yesterday.
I don't believe that he should be playing a role in the future of the party or the country.
Ohio Republican Jim Jordan tells Fox.
I'm glad President Trump's speaking at CPAC. I happen to be speaking right before him. I'm looking forward to this Sunday. He's going to give a great speech. And President Trump is the leader of our party, and that is a darn good thing.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo denies sexual harassment claims made by a former aide.
Let's play strip poker. That, Lindsay Boylan claims, is what Governor Andrew Cuomo told her on an October 2017 flight. It's one of many details Boylan lays out in an essay posted online accusing Cuomo of unwanted kissing and touching, making unflattering comments to women about their weight, and ridiculing them about their romantic relationships.
Fox's Brian Yenis. America's listening to Fox News.
Friend. 638 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Go ahead, let it out. Let somebody driving past you look at you funny. It's all right. It'll be good for you. It's good for them. Joining us now, we have Janice Gillis. She's the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Did you dance for a second? Be honest.
Of course.
Okay, good.
So the reason why it's the last Thursday in Black History Month. And then second of all, Gloria Gaynor was my first album when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
And I literally wore it out on my little record player over and over and over.
can I tell you a secret? You'll relate to this. Okay, so I got rid of all my vinyl when we moved from Oregon here. And, you know, what happens mm-hmm. over time is all of your albums pick up clicks and pops and skips and things. And when you mm-hmm. listen to them enough, you anticipate them coming and know that they're coming. And so, when, you know, if you reacquire them on CD, which is what I did for a lot of this stuff, they sound wrong to me because there are no clicks and pops and skips. Yep. And so the songs don't sound right to me.
Yep.
After so many iterations.
Did you ever have to put the dime? Did you ever have to put the dime on the needle to make it stay on the album?
Never quite that bad, but I did have to learn to walk gingerly near the record player because apparently I didn't have it set right and a little bit of a step and it would skip. So yes, all of that.
Yeah.
All right.
Poor kids in the north end of the county had to put a dime on their needle because we couldn't afford to buy another album.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right. Well, turning to government stuff, let's start with something that's not in your purview, just because I want to get your perspective on it. Santa Rosa Island Authority has been hunting for a new executive director because Paolo is leaving, which is terrible because we love Paolo. He's so good at his job. They've found somebody they've hired. Can I just say, just as a person who tries to follow as much government stuff as possible, I love all these people at SRI. I get along with them very well. There's not an issue there, but I don't know why this process wasn't more transparent. I don't know why there wasn't public input. I don't know why they don't put their meetings on video for everybody to watch. I don't have particular objections. That's my issue. SRI seems to function unlike any other government entity when it comes to transparency.
Yeah, and I mean, I was a board member on SRIA for 7 years. And so, but part of that is having been on that board, I hate to say this, there's not as much attention paid to that board from a public perspective. I mean, I can tell you, I could probably count on my fingers and toes the number of people that actually ever attended in my entire 7 years on that board. So I think as we all know, the beach is so important to us. I think with new leadership, you'll probably see new opportunities for hopefully electronic communication and for video communication. And it's not because Paolo or Buckley or Monty Blues or anyone did anything wrong. It's just we are moving into a new digital age in terms of government communication. And so I think you'll probably see a different commitment.
I really hope
so.
Because I've pushed for it a couple of different times and just kind of never goes anywhere. And, you know, I'm not driving out to the beach to attend a meeting, you know, even, but I'm interested in what they're doing. And then I'm left to depend on, you know, the PNJ sends a reporter or something like that, or, you know, me call in the morning after. So anyway, but I guess.
Well, and Shelley at the Times always does a good job too.
All right, then. Fair enough. Stuff for that you do have a little bit more involvement with. First question is, can I finally buy liquor on Sunday mornings? Is that in place now?
Yes, sir. we were, I think the county attorney said it could take about a week for the Department of State to recognize the ordinance change. And quite frankly, that happened by that afternoon on the 18th. So you've been able to buy liquor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See how my life didn't change one bit. the big change would be that when you go to Publix, the lights are on over the beer instead of being off over the beer at 11 a.m. So, okay. All right. So that's done and in place. I also wanted to ask you about this Monarch Place development. I went by yesterday. Mm-hmm. This is the one that, for people who don't know, it's by Baumbridge Middle School. It's off of Oakfield, I guess, is not Oakfield, but what is that road that runs across? Hancock. And, you know, east of
Hancock,
the tracks, south of Burgess. And it's where they're putting a huge development in a place that was a forest right behind or at the access of a dead-end little neighborhood street. The forest is gone. I went by and looked at it yesterday. It's very disturbing to me as, I believe in development, but I hate to see an urban forest completely get eradicated. Is there at least going to be a second access point? That had been an open question. Is there going to be another road to go in there?
Yes, it's my understanding from our development services folks, there's going to be two access points. I agree with you. There is this struggle, constant struggle in development with private property rights and folks that, you know, have lived in a community for a long time and have the expectation that the community will be the same for a long time to come. And that was someone's, I believe, farmstead, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some absolutely beautiful trees. And it is a bit disheartening to see urban forest disappear like that. But like I said, I mean, you have the other issue of Bert Harris claims when you deny somebody their private property rights. And so it's always a struggle when something like this happens. And I do feel for the neighbors and their concern over this.
Yeah, and look, I understand that too. And I know the problem is that when you move into a neighborhood like that or when you've been there a while, you just don't think anybody's ever going to come in behind you and develop and totally change the nature of your neighborhood. But property rights, as long as the zoning doesn't get changed, are what they are. And, you know, I understand that too. Mm-hmm. So, but good to have another access. That's at least some alleviation. I also wanted to ask you, we've been talking about the Escambia Children's Trust this week. I know you and I had talked many times about trying to get people to volunteer to be on the list, to be considered. We finally got our names submitted, mm-hmm. but now they can't do anything because we're waiting for the names to be approved, right?
Correct. I think that there was some thought that because another county had operated with statutorily allowed appointees to go ahead, it turns out that that actually didn't really take place until there was confirmation that the governor had not necessarily made the appointments within the 45 days of him receiving the names. So I think there's still a little bit of time to go under the water to go under the bridge before they should probably be meeting. And so we're going to submit the names to the governor. He, as we said, he has 45 days statutorily to provide those. I did alert the board that he does go into, you know, legislative session next week, and that will occupy a considerable amount of time for him and his staff over the next 60 days. So I think the idea is for the trust to come back together at the end of April and then see what action they may consider if they think they could take action if those appointments have not been made at that time.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously, as you say, we have session, then we have post-session review of all the other bills, including the budget. Then you have mm-hmm. potentially, I hope not, mm-hmm. but you always hurricane season. And, you know, suddenly you're up against that mm-hmm. time limit of midsummer when they won't be able to levy the tax this year. So we'll see, as you said, what's mm-hmm. going to turn out. We're talking to Janice Gilley. She is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, hang on here for just a second. Let me get a traffic break on the fires with Davis Allen.
Yeah, and the front gate of NES Pensacola is very delayed, backed up all the way to Barrancas Gulf Beach Highway. Back gate is also showing delays, nothing too significant though. Avalon Boulevard also Garcon Point Bridge very delayed, starting at the Toll Plaza, backed up about midway through the bridge. Avalon though flowing smoothly. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Back to Janice Gilley, Escambia Administrator. Santa Rosa County recently worked on a lease for the former Bell's, a big distribution site for vaccines that they are putting together when we finally have enough vaccine to be distributing mm-hmm. it at large scale. In Escambia, I don't think we've done anything quite like this, but I know we're a little different with, you know, Olive Baptist and Brownsville Community yeah. Center. Do we have enough just physical facilities if the vaccine does start flowing?
Yeah, so as we've mentioned, way back in October, November, a vaccination plan was put in place where we would set up pods and where we would have distribution centers and so our distribution locations. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have Stefani Road, we have the 4-H facility, we have the Molino Center, we have places all over this county. And quite frankly, we would like to do those in such a way that we have them distributed in the communities, as we've mentioned, because that helps you not have this big backup. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, people waiting in line and then not making their appointed time, you know.
And
so
traffic.
I think our team has done a really good job of, I think our team's done a really good job of dispersing throughout the community in our different neighborhoods, the vaccinations, so that we haven't had those big log jams and backups.
Okay.
I do know that the Bells that Milton's going to be Santa Rosa's going to use, they're going to have a really good format as well. So I'm not speaking against what they're doing. I'm just saying that our plan does look differently. We do have a different healthcare community system, and we do have all of our different distribution points throughout the community that gets us closer to the neighborhoods.
Outstanding. Kind of the last question I have for you, I know sometimes you have them for me, is that we have job openings, always job openings in Escambia County, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So we still have a couple hundred job openings, everything from animal control to corrections to fire, EMS, you know, we just equipment operators. So we are doing our best to try and get that word out there. We are going to continue to do some recruiting campaigns. We've been doing it for corrections officers. We're going to start doing it more heavily for fire, EMS, and paramedics. And I'm asking Dr. Marcus McBride from CareerSource Escarosa to come to the board meeting on March 18th and give an update on the workforce in Escambia County. You know, when times are good, I think we were down to like 3% unemployment, which quite frankly is 0%, right? And I think right now we're at 5.3. And so there could be that 1 to 2% difference are folks that have just decided to select out of the workforce. And that could be part of our issue. Everyone has an issue right now. I heard that there were even signs at Lowe's the other day, and who doesn't want to work for Lowe's?
Right. And we also, and by the way, I want to give you a chance to talk about, we have the Sunbelt Conference coming, right?
Yeah. So that's my question for you today.
Oh, all right.
We're excited about the Sunbelt Conference. Yeah, we're excited about the Sunbelt Conference next week. You can get tickets for as low as $15 to attend the events, or you can buy a pack of eight, you know, to attend eight different sessions for $67. So there's a lot of opportunities for you to get a really good, I hate to say show, but I mean, college basketball is so much fun. But can you name the 12 teams in the Sun Belt Conference?
No.
And okay, in fact, let me name them for you.
We were looking over the list the other day, and I'm like, oh, well, I guess so. Sure, that makes sense. But it's things like, what, Georgia State and Texas State. And ones that, like, obviously every state has a college and also a state college typically.
Arkansas State.
They're ones I'm like, So you can name them all, huh?
Well, how about this? Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Georgia Southern, Georgia State. You got Louisiana. You got University of Louisiana, Monroe, South Alabama, Texas Arlington, Texas State, Troy, and Appalachian. That's the other one. Appalachian State, and you got Arkansas Little Rock.
I've got 11. I'm counting over
11,
here, James.
12 was Arkansas State.
I'm sure she can do it.
I think, yeah.
I trust her. She's better than I can, that's for sure. Janice Gillis, she is the Escambia Administrator. Janice, always thanks for the time and thanks for the work. We know it's a lot. Thanks so much for joining us.
Y'all have a great day. Take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. All right, 651 News Radio, 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. For a gallon of gas, 267, 261 in Florida. Los Angeles is 469, $1.69 in Houston. If you're looking here locally in Navarre, it's 255 east and west of the Walmart, 265 up 87. 255 in Tiger Point and Gulf Breeze and at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge. Sorry, 259 in proper. 255 in Milton at the Raceway at the Highway 90 before you get to Avalon. 255 P Ridge at the Walmart, 258 before you get on the causeway. In Pensacola, 258 south side of 9 Mile at the Walmart, 257 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And coming in from the southwest side, 256 at the Navy Exchange, and then 254, it looks like, at the BP station at Pace. These gas prices are brought to you by me today. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
President Biden extending the coronavirus pandemic national emergency declaration. The White House says it must continue past March 1st, saying the virus still poses a significant risk. The third-ranking Republican in the House taking another shot at former President Trump.
He said to his fellow on January 6th, I don't believe that he should be playing a role in the future of the party or the country.
Wyoming's Liz Cheney asked by reporters if Trump should be speaking at the CPAC summit this weekend. She says that's up to them. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy said he should. Country music singer Trisha Yearwood recovering from coronavirus, recently tested positive after a member of her team and a team member of her famous husband, Garth Brooks, caught the virus. Brooks saying his wife is on her way out of the tunnel.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. Davis Allen now, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, as a follow-up to the accident that Tiger Woods had gone through, which he is in the hospital recovering, the Los Angeles County Sheriff said that there were no signs that Tiger Woods was intoxicated in any form, and he says that the accident was, well, purely that, an accident. When he had gone over the cliff, no charges are expected to be filed against the superstar. Also, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, looks like they might, not there yet, but they might be extending Tom Brady's contract. He does have 1 year left on it. He is currently 43. He'd be 44. Brady has said he would like to play until at least 45. So maybe a contract extension is in store for the veteran quarterback. We will see. I'm Davis Allen with a quick shout of sports, and now rolling this on over into your traffic on the fives. We do have those delays over at the front gate of NES Pensacola. That's backed up all the way to Gulf Beach Highway and Barrancas Avenue. Now, also with that, the back gate showing minor delays, but nothing like what the front gate is showing. Also, the Garcon Point Bridge moving very slow, and it's all as people are trying to go through the toll plaza. Appears to be backed up all the way to Gulf Breeze, so just be ready to use caution and pack your patience over there. Avalon Boulevard going northbound, flowing smoother, but going southbound from 90 on down to I-10, it's backed up to about Del Monte Street. I-10, I-110 checking in clear. And the support's brought to you by Executive Landscaping, over 40 years of service, big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So when you're driving, you have an experience of loving your car or not loving your car so much. And that happens as cars age. There start to be things that bother you about your car. I get that. We all get that. We've all gone through it. At a certain point, you have to replace the car. Well, if you're commuting 20 minutes, maybe you don't notice the things that you're just enduring about your car and you put up with it. When you're commuting an hour, hour and a half, because the bridge is out, it's not as much fun. Well, guess what? You shouldn't have to endure your car. You should love your car. You should look forward to getting into it. You shouldn't be like, oh. So here's what you do. You go to Frontier Motors. You say, look, Andrew keeps talking about this, and I keep noticing it. I got to fix this. So you look at what they've got, how you can get something that's newer, with fewer miles, that might even cost you less per month because you're not having to fix it all the time or look at those big repairs that happen when you get a car that's a little bit older. So find out how you can have a car that might save you money and will certainly save you stress and give you more enjoyment. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Six fifty-eight here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Time for Future News. Davis and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Pensacola City Council tonight is going to finalize the details on the gun buyback program or the gun purchase program, if you want to think of it that way. Are they going to approve it? Is it going to happen?
It will happen.
Yeah, I think so too. There's been no controversy about it at the council so far. They're also looking at an initiative to require all street design to include the provision for bicycles and disabled people and pedestrians and children. Is that going to become the law in Pensacola?
Yes.
I also think so. We're going to talk about that coming up in a minute. Santa Rosa Island Authority, apparently they have a new executive director that they have picked. They're working on finalizing the details. But will the new era bring in more transparency and at least the meetings being online?
I'm going to say no.
Man, I'm going to say yes, just to vote with my heart. I really, 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 really hope so. Biden rolls out an executive order yesterday on supply chain assessment and hopefully, you know, figuring out how to make it better. Will that make us more resilient for the future?
Yes.
I think yes. Will it be the first step towards state control of production?
Yes.
Oh, come on. No. I hope.